Alfred Spears Broadside's theme music is Blair and Mitchell, 6 o'clock, July 29th, 1999. This is the last Alfred Spears Broadside show from the studio, and probably the last for a week or two as I scrounge around with the homeless. Can you imagine? Alfred Spears, Robert Homeless. Shocking, but true. Anyway, stay tuned to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Our first guest, the mysterious Madcap Marie, who we actually kidnapped from another program, where she's going to talk to us about the absence or presence of social services for the homeless here in Santa Cruz. Stay tuned. Sake, I get so bored of the theme music I could fall asleep. But well, let's consult the artistic tastes of our studio guest, Madcap Marie. Hey there, Madcap. Do you think the audience is going to recognize your voice?
Depends on how crafty they are.
Well, you may recognize the voice if you do. The special prize for the first caller who can identify the real identity, but be discreet, of this individual. You actually have been working with the Homeless Health Project for a number of months.
Nine months.
And what exactly is the Homeless Health Project?
It's a project that provides access to health care in this county for folks that are homeless, and it's a very broad definition. It can mean couch surfing, staying with friends, to living on the streets.
How many people do you service a day?
Me personally or the project?
The project.
The project, probably, I would guess, a couple hundred, 200.
What kind of health services do you put these people in touch with, and do you, well, let me ask you that to begin with.
Well, we have a connection to the county health system, which is Emmeline Clinic. The Emmeline Clinic is in Santa Cruz, and there's also a Watsonville Health Clinic, both run by the county. And so we have an insurance program that will cover visits and medications for clients, and we use that as a supplement to the MediCruise program.
So, let me put it this way. What are my chances if I'm a person coming to your project to actually get, pain medication, if I've got a painful injury, assistance with a broken leg that isn't setting right? What's the percentage of people treated as compared with the people turned away?
From our project, no one's turned away.
Mm-hmm.
We do not turn away clients. There's sometimes clients that we meet with only outside the building.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't turn away any clients. And so we don't dispense over our prescription medication, only over-the-counter meds. So to come to us, the most pain relief you're going to get is from either Tylenol or ibuprofen. But we can either refer someone up to the clinic. We have taxi vouchers to take someone directly to Dominican if they're in extreme pain.
How often does that happen?
That someone has to go to the hospital?
That you gotta give them the taxi voucher.
Taxi vouchers go out several a week.
Mm-hmm. How many people ask to go to the hospital per week?
It definitely varies week to week depending on what's going on. I would say a couple. If people come to us and it's obviously something serious, we'll get them to the hospital. Sometimes we take them in our own cars, taxi, whatever's most appropriate.
Are the homeless people of Santa Cruz County, they get your county service?
Uh-huh, yes.
Adequately served by this? I mean, would you say that if you're homeless and you have a problem, you're likely to get the medical treatment you need?
I would say you're likely to get the treatment you need, but it's not adequate service.
And why is that?
Well, we're limited in that the only providers are in the medical clinic, and so if you have problems with the providers there, then you might not feel comfortable. If you don't have your entire day to spend waiting to go to see a doctor, then the county clinic might not serve your needs.
That takes a day to see a doctor?
Well, not a whole day. If you have an appointment, they're fairly good at getting you in within an hour.
Within an hour?
But if you're there for urgent...
Many hours of MLM.
The most hours comes when you're waiting for urgent care. And so you can wait 4 hours. And lately the pharmacy's actually been taking longer than getting in. So you get in to see a doctor, but then you have to wait hours to get your medication.
Are we in a situation where you have a two-tier medical system, or one for the rich, one for the poor? I mean, is that, I think I'm asking probably the obvious, but what do you think? Is that just more radical rhetoric, or is that the reality? What's the story?
Oh, I think it's definitely true. I mean, I think it's just obviously true that we have a two-tier medical system, healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're fortunate. I've worked in many different counties, and I think we have the best public health. We have some of the best public health doctors ever. We have some very knowledgeable doctors, and we have some doctors that are very caring and kind. They are not all of the doctors at the clinic.
Has the Dominican Hospital system been caring and kind to you? Give a call to 427-3772 to give us some indication as to how well Dominican Hospital is serving the community for poor people. That's 427-3772. Happy to put you on the air uncensored. If you have praise, that's fine. If you have criticism, that's fine. If you don't know what you're talking about, then we're going to cut you off. Otherwise, hey, we'll be happy to hear from you. That's 427-3772. There have been reports over the last 6 months, I've gotten reports either directly or indirectly of over 20 assaults on homeless people who've been sleeping. Some call the people who do these assaults troll busters after a t-shirt popularized by some right-wing merchants in the mid-80s where they had a picture of a kind of a bum with flies buzzing over his head with a kind of a circle with a line through it, no trolls. And it's a troll buster t-shirt came out after the movie Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. Do people with injuries come to you, and do you have some sense, have you seen any of the victims of these so-called troll busters?
Definitely. I, of course, can't talk about the cases because you have to respect people's privacy, but mm-hmm. I would estimate it's even higher than 20 that have been assaulted.
Give me an intelligent and educated guess as to how many people have been assaulted this year in those kinds of incidents.
I would say it's probably more in the line of 30, 40 that I would know about or have knowledge of. And then you imagine beyond that, you know, it could go up, 50, 60.
Are you aware of all those kinds of assaults that come in, or only a portion of them at the homeless health project?
Oh, only a portion. I'm sure it's only the clients we encounter.
But you are familiar with all those who come to your project?
I would say a fair number.
So there's some that you perhaps...
Don't
even know about. Let's say, 50% or 80% or...
I would probably know of 75-80%.
So we can say that your figure underestimates probably by about 25%,
mm-hmm.
So even of those who come to the project.
Right.
And then, of course, that one would assume is that, have you ever done a survey, or do you have any estimate of how many people don't come to your project who are injured or have problems? Like what percentage of the population?
We haven't done any surveys, but I would estimate, based on the number of clients we have contact with and the estimated number of homeless, which we know is underreported, that we probably see 60 to 70% of the people, at least on one-hit visits, and that's because we do a lot of outreach at sites where a lot of homeless go to.
So we would say 30 or 40% don't come.
Mm-hmm.
So if you estimate 40 35-40 assaults since the January 1st, let's say. And that estimate is only from your personal experience. We have to increase that by 25% to, say, 50.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to increase it another 25% to, say, 62, 63, 65. Mm-hmm. We're talking 65 assaults. That's almost, what is it? And it's almost one assault every 2 or 3 days on a homeless person who's sleeping. This is essentially a form of hate crime we're talking about.
Oh, definitely.
Are we talking about upper middle class or upper class or, I don't know, gay youth? I mean, gay in terms of homosexual, but, you know, wild and crazy youth out to have a thrill by beating up a sort of an elderly homeless person. Are we talking about homeless people themselves engaging in drunken fights? We all know those homeless people are all drunks, drug users,
right.
And so forth. What percentage of this number would you say is homeless on homeless, and what percentage is non-homeless homeless? I know that it's hard to make any kind of judgment, but
right.
I mean, do you feel like you have any way of making that kind of an estimate based on the testimony of the homeless people who come and talk to you?
I don't know if I can take a stab at an estimate, but I would say very few are homeless on homeless. Most ones I've heard about have been younger folks. Some people report teenagers, young 20s, usually groups of young kids. I don't know that I've heard of any reports that weren't white kids, and a lot of them seem to be upper middle class. There's a lot of rumors about kids of police officers, kids of high-powered people in the community.
Now, when you say rumors, and I've heard similar rumors, but I don't like to give credence to something which doesn't have some substantiation. What is yours? You sound like you get some credence to these rumors. We know that in 1980 and 81, there were police officers involved in brutal attacks on homeless people. They were tried and not convicted, but they were fired from the police force under the Code Blue scandal of the late 70s and early 80s. But we also are told that their children were involved, as they originally with this, some of their young teenage sons. Now, are you suggesting that this is happening, at least in terms of their children, it's happening again? I mean, do you have any... You want to be fired from your job, man, for these kinds of allegations against the blue coats? I don't mean the blue coats. I mean our fine police force. What are you saying?
Well, when I said the word rumors, I mean most of the reports that I got that involved allegations that they were children of police officers came from friends of the folks that were beaten up, not people that were actually victims of the crime themselves.
Are these people who knew the connections between, I mean, did they know, oh, that's Officer Seeley's son, oh, that's Officer Howe's daughter? I don't know
if
these officers have children, but
right.
I'm using them as just an example.
No, I never heard any officer directly mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I heard reports that the kids reported that they were kids of cops and that some people recognized them, but I never followed that train of questioning with them.
What was your sense? Was your sense that do you give credence to these reports? Do you feel that that's likely happening, or do you feel that's an exaggeration? Would you say you don't know? Where do you stand in your own conclusion on the situation?
Well, from my personal perspective, I definitely give credence to those claims. I mean, my experience of police officers in this town is horrendous. I've been personally treated horribly by police officers, solely dependent on how I looked at the moment.
Give me an example of a recent problem you've had with a police officer.
Probably most recently was when I was walking on the upper end of the mall, the yuppie end, in front of Robert's Shoe Store and saw a very wealthy-looking woman, and I made that judgment based on the fact she was wearing a fur and had extremely groomed hair and very expensive-looking clothes.
Just the kind of customer we need in downtown Santa Cruz to help with our revitalization of the downtown.
Welcome. Spend your money here.
Mm-hmm.
So she was walking across the street with her little dog.
Dogs are illegal on the Pacific Rim.
Well,
I assume the police immediately did something to deal with this.
No. And I have seen them immediately do something for folks who appear to be hippies or punks.
Now, was there a police officer observing this?
There actually was. There happened at that moment to be one police officer and two downtown hosts.
Or pests, as we call them. Downtown pests.
They were standing directly in front of the store. I was facing them probably 6 feet away, and I saw this woman And I very calmly asked the officer and the downtown host if they saw the woman with the dog, and if I was correct in my knowledge that there was a law against having pets, and would they please remove her from the mall.
And what did these officers say to you?
They looked at me for a moment and then said, "I don't see what the problem is. That's up to the store." And I said, "I don't know that you would make the same decision if I was the one with the dog, or if someone that looked like me was the one with the dog." I don't, because to my comment, they responded, "Don't get hysterical, young lady," and then walked off. And when I ran by them and said, "I would like to get your names and badge numbers," they continued
to walk. Well, those police officers have many things on their minds. You know, I don't think that taking up their time with these kinds of trivial matters truly behooves a healthcare worker like yourself.
Oh, yes. And that's just one of many examples.
Give me another example of something that's happened that you feel caused you concern because of the police department. Something recent. Or has anything recently happened?
Well, I've certainly witnessed a few officers that probably had personal problems with needle exchange.
Tell me about that. This came up at City Council on Tuesday in a very important way. I'm going to be playing a little tape on this if I can find it. Always a problem with me and my tapes, particularly when I'm moving. But there was an issue on the agenda concerning support for a state bill, which I believe gives needle exchange a little more respectability and protection. I'm not quite sure of the exact details. This resolution was by, of all people, Cynthia Matthews, who is generally renowned for cracking down on the unsavory element downtown. Actually, she doesn't really concern with the unsavory element. She's concerned with the unfashionable element, the unsavory element, such as the landlords, tobacco salespeople, liquor salesmen, police people who are engaging in abusive conduct, and not those who aren't. They're ignored, of course, under this criterion, but her criterion is to go after those who give a shabby appearance to our beautiful downtown. And needle exchange, of course, is rife with those kinds of heroinistic types. So this City Council matter was, you know, talking, everyone agreed, sure, let's support the state law. But then some of us came up to the mic and began to talk about harassment of needle exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, it's been discussed earlier on Free Radio Santa Cruz both yesterday and today, how one individual, David Wilson, apparently a black, an African-American who uses needle exchange, who was on probation for some drug offense, as part of our famous drug war, or war against the poor on the name of drugs, dragging in mostly Hispanic and African-American people of color, poor people. He attempted to talk about needle exchange and how there was harassment actions going on downtown against needle exchange. And I pointed out that the latest meeting of the Crone-Crapper Commission, which is also known as the Task Force on Bathrooms, which was created by council member Christopher Sleeping is okay, but let's not make too much of a fuss, lest we offend Mayor Byers Crone, Christopher Crone, who established his little task force on the crappers, the Crone-Crapper Commission. It sounded like they were doing something. I've heard some more reports recently that kind of disturbed me, but the thing that came up at that Crapper Commission hearing, I guess, was that meeting, was that the police chief was very upset at the prospect, and various police officers, actually, I don't know if the chief was there, but I think actually he was, I've gotten unclear information, that they wanted to put in a porta-potty near a needle exchange. Mm-hmm. And they were insisting that the top of the porta-potty be transparent, so police could keep an eye on behavior inside. One wonders what color the poo is.
Oh, yes.
Possibly.
Yes.
You know, how,
are they wiping?
Is it a tinkle or is it a stream? I'm not quite sure what it is. Actually, their claim, what I heard today from CPRB member Sandy Brown, was that they wanted to know if one of the people who was overdosing and dying inside, we have to be able to tell
concerned.
Them. They were concerned about the health of the heroin. Now, you seem to be skeptical. Are you suggesting the police have, in fact, been harassing needle exchange? The reason I mentioned this whole story was once David Wilson brought up some concerns. Mike Rotkin immediately insisted that there was no problem at all with the Santa Cruz police. They were doing a wonderful job. All these were false, lying tales. And I'm not quoting him exactly, but he generally dismissed the stories. And when other people tried to respond, the acting mayor Sugar, from his grand throne, declined to recognize anyone. Even though this African American stood to the side, raising his hand, trying to respond, and he didn't get an opportunity to speak on that issue in response to Michael Atkin. He hadn't been able to speak before because he'd arrived late. He was arrested the next day, that was yesterday, for, quote, being in a place where a known drug area, which of course was near the farmer's market, area.
I'm guilty of that offense.
You are, of course, one of the many guilty individuals. He was held for 4 hours, given a complete body cavity search because he has a probation search clause, and finally released. He was in the company of Jim Costner, who was, of course, a local activist, much targeted by the police several years ago, and apparently still targeted for, most recently at the May 22nd protest against the war in Yugoslavia, outside the, on Front Street, outside that McPherson Center. And so, what about needle exchange? Are the police, we had heard, I know a couple, about a year ago, we heard that Sergeant Kern was going after people distributing literature, threatening them with different kinds, and this is what I heard directly from several needle exchange people, threatening them with arrest if they gave out what was called a fuck-safe, shoot-clean literature, which literature in the vernacular of the streets that tells you how to avoid passing on life-threatening diseases. Apparently it's more important to these police officers that people talk like Cynthia Matthews does without using candid language and not revealing any relevant facts than to pass on real information. But that's been my concern as of a year ago. I wonder what was happening recently. Do you have any sense of how police are treating needle exchange recently?
Well, in general, in terms of needle exchange sites, it's better than an incident a few years ago when on three separate occasions, volunteers conducting needle exchange at scheduled times were given tickets for possession of paraphernalia. Since that time, officially, the word is that police officers are to make sort of patrolling and busting participants in needle exchange a low priority. That's the official word. Unofficially, I think a few officers have a huge problem, and maybe even many officers have a huge problem, and are effectively banning a lot of the needle exchange methods of getting their information out. You mentioned the fuck safe, shoot clean literature. Well, there's also a bumper sticker that says fuck safe, shoot clean. And I've heard reports from several individuals that have had that bumper sticker on their car, and they've been pulled over numerous times. They also have a t-shirt that has a cereal box on the cover, Sugar Smacks. And instead of having a spoonful of cereal, the idea is that the spoon is full of heroin that speed that someone's cooking up. And if you are seen walking around town with one of these shirts, some individual police officers have said this is reason enough to search you because you most probably have drugs or paraphernalia on you just for wearing a t-shirt.
Where did you get this information from? Have you been listening to Jim Costner and Steve argue in their wild madcap radicals?
Well, I do listen to them. I find them very informative, but I actually have heard this from individuals that have had this happen to them, and I myself have worn my Santa Cruz Needle Exchange t-shirt downtown and have been harassed by catcalls from individuals. I've never had a problem with police myself, but I have talked to other Needle Exchange volunteers who have been harassed for wearing shirts, and I've heard from participants.
What kind of harassment did these volunteers suffer that you know specifically, and do you have anything recent happen there?
I haven't heard anything recent in the last few months. A lot of people just aren't wearing the shirts. And because the word's out there, if you wear one, you can get searched. I have heard...
Please get me a couple of those shirts. I want to test out this hypothesis.
Okay, I would love to. Okay. I've heard from individuals that they have been searched. And unfortunately, the two individuals that shared with me that they were searched, they were in possession of illegal drugs, so they were arrested for that.
And what kind of illegal drugs were they allegedly in possession of?
Heroin, allegedly.
We should talk a bit about heroin. Have you ever discussed this on the air?
I discuss needle exchange quite a bit. A lot of the programs there's some new testing programs that I discuss on the air.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a subject that needs to be discussed not just as a sort of propaganda effort to eliminate heroin use, but to inform people about what is really going on in the world of folks who use heroin. Ideally, of course, we'd have to have a heroin user in the studio, and when we announced that Sherry was shooting up, the police would come running in. I wonder if
yes, they
this
would.
I'd like to assure any police officers listening that is not happening at this time in this place. And I think, actually, that we need some productive interchanges, not just between Alcoholics Anonymous type, I give it up for Jesus folks who have taken a different life stance, as is their right, but also individuals who currently use heroin and who talk about it. The idea that this is some major sin, to me, is the most preposterous thing I've ever heard of. And the big problem with heroin that I can see, aside from being a potential health hazard because of the impure nature of the drug and because of the unsafe circumstances under which people shoot it, is that it results in massive crime because people have to get a lot of money because the drug is illegal and very costly, thanks to our police department and various lobbyists. And by making it illegal, of course, they continue to mandate jobs for themselves around this issue. And I think actually keep further away from the real solution to the problem, which of dealing with people who abuse drugs. And the idea that every use of heroin is abusive, I think, is a preposterous idea, although it's not, and use heroin scares me, as just as an idea, but, I don't like, I'm not a drug user generally, except, of course, for chocolate, which I'm very big on, I'm going to tell you, and it's probably going to do me in, a diabetic potential that I am. What about heroin use? What about the situation there? Is it, do you have any general comments about it in Santa Cruz? Anything about it? Anything, I mean, are you, anyone want to educate people on about the use of heroin that you, when was the last time you shot up?
Well, actually,
you stop shooting up, tell me.
I actually never have, but I love heroin users.
You do?
I do. They're really wonderful people. Almost every single person that I've met that shoots heroin is a wonderful individual. The nastiness comes as a result of the cops and the state who have made this drug illegal. And actually, heroin itself isn't that harmful of a drug, though no one in our government would ever tell you that. It's what's cut with that's crap. So if we could have more access to it, we could actually produce heroin in a very clean form if it wasn't illegal, and it wouldn't produce the health problems that it currently does.
Now, wait a minute. Heroin is an addictive drug, not as addictive as nicotine, of course, but it is very addictive. And physically, have we seen these, you know, the man with the golden arm, the people going through heroin withdrawal?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, there are many people who damn the day they ever first shot up with heroin.
Yes.
You're claiming that it's an okay drug for your nieces and nephews, is that what you're telling me?
I don't have any nieces and nephews, but certainly my experience of heroin, which is not from personal experience but just from knowing folks, is that it is a very hard addiction to beat. And I don't want to underestimate that at all. But the fact that it is physically addictive, I mean, like you mentioned chocolate, there's many other addictions that we have. I am so addicted to caffeine. Today I didn't have any until about 12:30, and I was just, it was horrible. And that's a physical addiction, and yet I'm okay. Society's standards, but
I haven't said that doctors who are addicted to heroin and have access to a supply, that it doesn't interfere with their practice or their ability to perform their job.
No.
Well,
a lot of people don't understand is when you are addicted to heroin, because there is a physical addiction, you need a certain amount to feel okay, and users say it needs a certain amount to feel well or to get well. And when you're just getting well, you're not getting high. And so it is you're perfectly able to function in any job. If you have an addiction, you're used to a certain amount of drug in the system, it's not going to impact you physically. And then beyond that, you can get high if you have enough money. But as we mentioned, it's a very expensive drug, unfortunately.
Well, we've heard in San Juan Metro, Santa Cruz, and of the vast heroin problem in Santa Cruz. Tell me about, is there a heroin problem in Santa Cruz, and what does it consist?
Well, let me tell you how you want to define the word problem. I think the problem is that The city has declared war on heroin users. I mean, our new district attorney, yes, he decided...
Our mayor's successor.
Yes, what a wonderful man. He decided he wanted to get heroin off the streets of Santa Cruz this summer because he lives in a dream world and thinks that people are just going to stop using drugs. And the number of arrests related to drug use has skyrocketed this summer.
Any example, any specific stats on that?
I don't have stats on citywide. I work with clients and know folks who are being arrested day after day after day, literally arrested, released, arrested, followed by police officers. It's the same police officer sometimes that will arrest them 5 days in a row. It's clear harassment by police officers.
But I think it's against the law.
But it is against the law. But what's the problem? I mean, my personal view as a taxpayer and voter in this town is I would rather our police officers spend time going after people that are harming other folks.
Wait a minute now. Isn't the creation of a heroin culture, isn't addicting young people to heroin or kind of dangling the lure of this white poison before them a kind of social cancer that we have to cut out?
People have always gotten high and they're always going to get high. I don't think anything's going to be cut out. I mean, personally, I'm glad I don't do it. I'm glad that the drugs that I did day after day after day were easy for me to stop, and the drugs that I do now are more accessible and not as much of a health risk. But people are always going to get high. Don't think that talking about heroin, educating people about the real effects makes people get high. I think people get high because they want to get high. And I personally think more people are getting high for longer periods of time because the world's getting worse and worse and more unkind to them as individuals.
Now, heroin has been decriminalized, not in total, but for limited purposes, it was decriminalized in England, I guess, and recently in Switzerland. There's been a similar kind of experiment going on. Do you know much about that? Can you talk about that with any knowledge? Or?
Not really. I just have a cursory knowledge that it has been. And I know about some of the projects that happened in Amsterdam of being able to go to the doctor and get heroin. In its medical form, usually dilated. And I know that programs in other countries have been very successful in lowering crime and lowering health risk to individuals because it's very possible to do heroin safely.
Mm-hmm. You know, if anyone out there has been using heroin and wants to talk about this issue or just has an opinion on it, phone number to call for Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is what you're listening to, is 427-3772, 427-3772. I think our phones are working, although I haven't heard a call in the last half hour. This is Bathrop's peer, Robert Norris, talking. I do an hour and a two-hour show, an hour and a half of which is left. And we're on the air with Madcap Marie, a pseudonym being used by my guest, although I don't think you really need a pseudonym, but we'll continue to respect that. I mean, you're not doing anything illegal, though I guess as a person employed by the county, you're not speaking anyway for the county. You have your own perspective, and your right to speak freely on issues, even if certain county bureaucrats might disagree with you. I'm sure Mark Tracy would not be very happy with everything you're saying. He's our sheriff.
No.
Or he's their sheriff, I should say. He's certainly not my sheriff.
He ain't mine either.
Unfortunately, the people don't have a sheriff here. There's only certain narrow interest groups. It's hard to tell who they actually are who have a sheriff in Santa Cruz County.
You can check by their bank account, maybe?
I don't even know that the enforcement of the drug laws actually benefits people with big bank accounts. I mean, I suppose it benefits certain interest groups, but
I don't know
if it benefits the Fortune 500 to have heroin illegal. I'd like to hear an argument on that. If anybody out there has any thoughts on this, is this some sort of plot by one? I mean, it benefits police in a certain way. I mean, it gives them funding and forfeitures. It kind of increases the hysteria to criminalize various kinds of behavior, increases the prison industry and the building and the employment, the need for more police officers and prison guards. But what other interest? Pharmaceutical companies, I guess. Methadone company gets a cut out of this because they're mandated servicers of heroin users. We had an interview recently with a woman
Kathy Dugan, who was arrested for allegedly for heroin use, though she says she's never used heroin. She's a sort of a psychotropic drug user. Mm-hmm. And she's an activist who works with a Psychiatric Inmates Rights Collective, which is a long-time civil rights group concerned with the rights of people against forced medication or forced shock or forced surgery, like lobotomy, which isn't practiced much these days, although one wouldn't know it from talking to some city council members. So she was talking about how Officer Lefebvre was engaging in gross violations of the right of her rights and rights of her neighbors, and in terms of home invasions, all allegedly for the drug war purposes around this heroin issue. And it's a whole story in and of itself. And of course, the problem is when it does divide people. If you are a heroin user, remember this way: if someone comes to you and says, "I'm a heroin user and I want to rent a room in your house," mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it makes me nervous. I mean, I know homeless people who use heroin. I know street spirit vendors who have used heroin. And if any sudden wonder, am I just feeding their heroin habit by letting them go out and sell street spirit? That's a newspaper people can sell for a dollar. We don't charge them anything for it. They go out and they sell it, and it passes on news about homeless civil rights and so forth. But I mean, I'm wondering that, and you kind of have to. It's like this sort of blue moon's mentality that has sort of permeated all of us. Skidmark Bob Duran, a free radio broadcaster and musician, used to talk about kill the cop within, meaning not attack police officers on the street, but destroy, you know, the society's own kind of inner Nazi that is telling you to judge people on the basis of, do they use drugs, do they not use drugs, be afraid of certain kinds of people. It's kind of a cancer, this mentality, which I think is spread. I should be asking you questions instead of babbling on here. And you out there, you listeners, you should be calling in and making some wise, witty, and sarcastic comments. By the way, if there's a police officer listening in, I know you, you men do, and you women too. You often do listen to this show. Don't be shy. Call in. You can use a voice distorter if you want. And you know, tell me where I'm full of shit. Am I wrong, or are we? We have a guest here who's saying that heroin is not the problem. It's the criminalization of heroin that's the problem. Do you understand that?
Yes, definitely.
Right. So I hear just a big silence out there. Is everybody out there high on something else, or not spacing out? Hey, there's a phone call. Maybe we got something happening here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I wanted to add something to the dialogue. I went to nursing school and studied pharmacology and the different classes of different drugs. And heroin is a non-toxic drug. It does zero damage to the user. There is the potential of taking too much at one time, at which point the muscles in the heart become paralyzed and they forget to beat, and the person could die of an overdose. But the physical damage done by the drug is nil. It's a very good pain suppression.
And a completely illegal pain suppressor, I might add. You can't even use it in people in extreme pain, as I understand. It's a Schedule I drug.
Cocaine makes an excellent topical anesthesia for, like, dentistry. It's well suited for that, but drugs like amphetamines do profound damage to the body. They kind of prematurely age all organs, and so depending on which drug you're using, the physical effect on the body can be markedly different.
Well, caller, I think. Those regular listeners know that we're talking to our producer, video journalist Becky Johnson. Hi, Becky.
Hello.
Are you suggesting that heroin should be legal, and let's say methamphetamines should not be legal, or are you drawing those kinds of distinctions?
Well, I would prefer to see all drug use regulated as a medical problem, and that's my personal bias in terms of what I would like to see happen eventually. Would be to take the criminal justice system away from
the criminals who run it at the moment.
Into, you know, that's just the very opposite of the medical model for treating someone who has an addiction, and say say a person has been in a profound car accident and they're in severe pain, heroin can dramatically reduce their pain and not cause any physical damage to them. However, if they're using a dirty needle, the chance of getting, say, a blood-borne disease such as hepatitis is greatly increased. And so, you know, needle exchange becomes very important to not only the IV drug user, but family members and intimates of that drug user. So from a purely health point of view, needle exchange is just kind of a win-win. It protects the user and it protects society at large.
Well, it may be win-win, but it hasn't won the endorsement of either Police Chief Steve Belcher or President Clinton, as far as I know.
Well, I believe that the criminal justice system wants to keep that paraphernalia, be able to arrest people for possession of paraphernalia. That law enforcement wants to have all sorts of different reasons for pressing charges or taking people into custody. And needle exchange crosses that line. I mean, here's something that's going to be dramatically helpful in terms of reducing incidences of disease, and yet it's paraphernalia, accessory to using an illegal drug, so therefore they can come in and arrest people for possession of the needle itself.
Well, we have a paraphernalia pusher here in the studio who works with needle exchange. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Well, I completely agree that the police and the criminal justice system has a huge interest in maintaining the charge, I believe it's 4140, of possession of paraphernalia. I think it's used to control folks they perceive as dangerous or unsavory, people they do not want on the streets. I think the same bunk charge as seen in a known drug area. I mean, that's the biggest load of shit I ever heard. The fact that you can get arrested for being in a known drug area, you go to the farmer's market and you can get arrested, but I bet you anything, there's no way myself in my little sundress am going to get arrested. But, you know, this gentleman you were talking about, Mr. Wilson.
Well, he was a black man.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, these people are, they're okay in their side of town.
But they can't go to the farmer's market because it's a known drug area.
Well, I was hanging around with Jim Costner making speeches about needle exchange at city council.
Tisk, tisk.
Well, it's interesting that one of the biggest selling known drugs is Prozac. And people are spending like $1.50 a pill for that, you know, and taking several a day. But if the pharmaceutical companies are profiting from it, then it's okay. And I'm going to listen to the show.
Thank you, caller.
I myself have to be going soon, but I would love to announce something that's going on at the Drop-In Center, if that's okay with you.
Please do.
For any listeners who are young injection drug users and you are concerned about your hepatitis B and C status as well as your HIV status, you can get tested at the Drop-In Center and get paid to do so.
Will you be observed through a transparent shield by the police department?
No.
At least not until you get outside the building.
Right. Mm-hmm. The police are not invited to this event. This is for young injection drug users only.
What about old, horny, non-injection drug user journalists who might observe the...
If journalists wanted to attend, I think you probably have to contact the Drop-In Center, which is can be called at 457-1163.
457-1163 for the Santa Cruz Drop-In Center. Again, the time of this event?
The event is called the UFO Study. It stands for You Find Out.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Monday nights from 5:30 to 8, first come, first served. It coincides at the same time as needle exchange, so you can come exchange your needles, go through the study, and get cash, and you can do whatever you want with the money.
And where is the drug center?
The Drop-In Center is located at 412 Front Street. It's directly across from the Metro Center. It's a gray building, and they have needle exchange indoors at the drop-in center Monday and Thursday evening, and almost every other day of the week they have needle exchange outside the drop-in center.
You can be sure of a friendly, or let's put it this way, a supervisory police presence somewhere in the area.
Unfortunately, yes, but luckily the Monday and Thursday hours of needle exchange are indoors, so you can conduct your business inside a building with the shades drawn, and so at least they can, you know, you can sit down for a minute, eat some dinner, exchange, and then keep your eyes open and ready when you leave the door, because unfortunately cops might be around.
It's too bad that police officers have to be viewed as adversarial. Isn't it all you listening to police officers? Mm-hmm. I wish the police department itself did something about this instead of simply being the pawns of politicians and pharmaceutical companies and right-wing pressure groups. But my wishes will continue forever. We've been talking to Madcap Marie. Also, again, nobody's called in with the name of the training of our talk show, and also the grand prize, 17 syringes of heroin. Just kidding, folks. Just kidding. They will not be distributed tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Anything you want to conclude with?
Can't think of it other than keep listening to your show and
shoot safe, fuck clean.
Yeah, shoot safe, fuck clean. And if you are harassed by the police, please call into Free Radio and get your story told, or at least your numbers counted, so we can have an accurate account of how many people are being affected by police harassment in this town.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, the needle on our record player has gotten in the way of our needles. We need a real needle exchange on that record player, I'll tell you. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert. And we're going to be continuing with some more up-to-date news flashes. We had an interesting interview about KPFA, which you may think is doing just fine, back on the air, and they've let all the folks in, but apparently not so. According to some folks we talked to, there is still a large protest going on July 31st up there. Don't be deceived by what the establishment media is telling you. They are still refusing to end the gag order at KPFA, so they're trying to kind of dress up things up there, according to what I've heard, and we're going to talk more about that in the course of this show.
Happy John Fine was a friend of mine, lived here by the sea, down on the streets of Santa Cruz, he always laughed at me. Happy and I went to church one night, thank God, and ate our fill. Asked him if he had any money, give me a fake dollar bill. Where is Happy? He's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Oh, where's Happy? Shot down today. And it's yes, the police are happy. Sadness is here to stay. Happy was as harmless as a butterfly. Loved everyone he met. He never left the 60s. Didn't really care for the internet. One day he was grooving to some tunes, doing the happy bop, when a bullet entered his chest, came from a Santa Cruz cop. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? He's gone away. And I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to stay. But people like Happy, I do believe. Heaven is great, great spirits. You know, like whatever you got here, less of, you got more there. Could happen. So I think he's up there. I think he's looking down. And he's probably saying, hey man, right on. I know you. Power to the people! where is happy? It's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Where is happy? Shot down today. And I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to say, yeah, I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to stay.
Okay, it's about 12:35 here in San Francisco on July 14th, Bus Field Day, in front of the City Hall. Coalition of Homelessness and Supporters, about, looks like 30 or 40 strong. And those video cameras, Gary Messman, a person playing a police officer with a club is about to strike a photographer. Hit her harder, number 420.
What do you know what 420 stands for, don't you?
I certainly do, and I resent it.
What do you mean you resent it?
Well, officer, what are you doing here today?
I'm here to push along all of these subversive degenerates of society. That's what I'm here for.
Aren't these the homeless?
What's the difference? And well, according to Mayor Willie Brown, as long as he keeps passing laws like this one, this Pedestrian Safety Act, I'm going to wind up with the best arrest record in the history of law enforcement.
Well, you like Willie's latest legislation.
Oh, yeah, but then again, I have the IQ of a kumquat.
Now, that can be limiting.
Yeah, it is. But it explains why we think alike.
Well, thank you, Officer...
Lewis.
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 Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
You are more welcome.
So we're wandering the crowd here. Seems to be growing. At a table again on the left side of the City Hall entrance.
A photo documentary of Robert North Kahn.
Ah, one of the local Coalition on Homelessness potential street sheet workers, actually a real street sheet worker, right?
And just a grunt, yes. Just a grunt.
Aren't you, in fact, notorious as a former Santa Cruz, I should say, San Francisco Food Not Bombs type individual?
Yeah. And I found a recovery program, and I'm doing fine now.
Excellent. Now, what are you here today for?
The supervisor, Amos Brown, has concocted another law targeting homeless people, this time ostensibly in the name of public safety. What its real intent is to give the police probable cause to harass anybody for any reason who's spending more than 5 minutes on the curb, and they don't even define what curb is. So, in its loosest interpretation, anywhere on the sidewalk for more than 5 minutes, stationary.
So this is sort of a, not just a sit on the sidewalk, go to jail, well, I'd say be on the sidewalk, go to jail.
It's a direct attack on people's First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. And people need to recognize that for it.
And actually all the...
That, and it's a slap in the face of any person who has any legitimate concerns about pedestrian safety, because it doesn't address those things.
So naturally all the stalwart supervisors are going to oppose this nasty proposal, right?
Well, we'll see. There's all kinds of finagling and maneuvering going around up there these days, and we don't have a lot of people that are that open with us.
This man looks skeptical. What do you say, sir?
Well, I say that there's a trend taking place. This is like a reenactment of what they used to call the black laws. Where back in the period of slavery, they had laws that restricted the movement of the slaves to keep them in subjugation. And now there's a trend where they're utilizing black politicians and black mayors against the downtrodden and the socially, economically deprived. And a significant percentage of homeless people are African American. So this is a direct attack on black folks and on poor folks in particular. There was already a law in place. This is actually an amendment to a present law. And what they're trying to do is say that pedestrians are getting killed, but those aren't panhandlers out there. And this law is just a travesty of the constitutional and civil rights of any citizen in America.
Your name, sir?
My name is J.B. Saunders. I'm the former president of the San Francisco Union of the Homeless. And just this year, I received the certificate of honor that from the Board of Supervisors for helping to assist in sponsoring legislation on the issue of homelessness. But they don't need any new laws on homelessness. They need to help the homeless.
New homes, not new laws.
There you go. Thank you.
Well, how long ago did the San Francisco Union, should we say, self-destruct or disappear?
A little over almost 10 years. And one of the reasons that we disappeared was because of a lack of support. And hopefully that support is starting to redevelop right now with all these attacks on the homeless.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Way to reach you. You got a number?
Yes, I do. My number is 415-673-2618.
If you want more information about the Union of the Homeless, give a call to
J.B. Saunders.
Thank you, J.B.
Thank you.
Provided attention.
And Judy Appel is about to speak.
Good.
Go for it, Judy.
Good afternoon. Glad you could come. We are here to let the supervisors know that we're opposing the so-called Pedestrian Safety Act, which is really intended to target homeless people and panhandlers in this city by limiting the public space that's available to them. Our MC is, for some reason, hasn't shown up yet, but as soon as he comes, he's going to take my place.
Is that turned on?
We want to start by thanking, Tribal Memorial Church for supplying the lunches today. Let's give them a hand.
Hey, guys!
All right.
If you haven't picked up the lunch, it's you.
Hey! How's everybody doing out there tonight?
All right.
My name is Les Wilson. I'm with the coalition. I work there, and we're getting together today to perform this. First, did everyone get their food and all this good stuff? Are we eating? We all eating? Okay, we have three food over here, and let's help yourself to it. You want to give a round of applause for Blind.
Go Blind. That's enough for Blind.
Now, the proposal is simply states, and this is what makes us very upset. The proposal is simply states that if you stand with on the sidewalk or the curb, or stand out in the medial strip for over 5 minutes, you can even go to jail, you can be fined, and we're only trying to just supplement our income, basically. And it's going to affect more than just homeless people. It's going to affect more than just you and me. It's going to affect day laborers. It's going to affect Girl Scouts. Anybody that's out there in the streets that's just trying to hang out. Just kind of give us a helping hand here. Keep in mind that if this piece of legislation passes, it is not only going to affect the homeless people, but it's going to affect everyone as a whole. A multitude of diversified organizations such as the American City Liberty Union, Labor Councilors, and the San Francisco Local Homeless Coordinating Board have already opposed this legislation. We all need to be a part of this fight, no doubt about it. So before I bring out our very first speaker, who don't take up too much of your time, I want to remind you that this legislation will be heard in front of the Housing and Social Policy Committee, and that's of the Board of Supervisors. It is very important that everyone sign the contact list, and there'll be some of our people be passing out different lists around for you to sign them.
Somebody's out colorful. All the signs have shut up, asking for help. Let's go to the stage. Act up San Francisco. Stop the war on the poor. Freedom is a constant struggle. There's a powerful fuck Amos Brown sign from Act Up. And over here we have difficult to understand this sign. Hope I pie before I get a statement of support for the Biotic Bakers Brigade and those who follow in their high crust.
the San Francisco Immigrant Rights Commission.
Porque nosotros como trabajadores nos afecta en la calle para buscar nuestro trabajo.
This law is no good because we as workers aren't able to find work on the street like we used to.
Nosotros estamos conscientes de que estamos en un lugar que no es nuestro, pero tenemos que trabajar y tenemos que estar libres de buscar nuestro sostenimiento en la calle.
We're conscious that a lot of people say that we don't even belong here. But we need to work. We need to make sure to earn our living.
Por favor, pido todo su apoyo para que no sea vigente esta ley.